Okay, Dunks, thank you for letting me chat to the parents. I feel quite excited about this ministry and about us going into this year, into 2023. I'm excited also to hear what Dunks and Janine have to share with us about this year. But my reason for standing in front of you today is to encourage you and to ask you to jump in and serve. The kids ministry is honestly, in my opinion, one of the most vital, one of the most exciting ministries in the church. And I also think that's incredibly important that the parents get involved in the children's ministry. I'm going to just chat through three simple points. I won't be very long. But the first one is a simply practical reason that we need to fill the roster. Otherwise, the entirety of the kids' ministry responsibility falls on the three faithful servants who are there every Sunday and every Friday. And also at this point, I want to honor Aileen and Renee, who are down in the ATAP Coffee Corner Hall babysitting our children so that we can enjoy church and enjoy fellowship. So they really do give up every Sunday so that we can attend church and we can fellowship. And I think that as parents, we also need to just take responsibility for that ministry and give them a chance to also fellowship. So there's that. Secondly, it's really, really not hard. I know that lots of people feel like, oh, but I don't have the gift of teaching children, or yikes, children. But the truth is that Janine actually prepares all of the material. Every single lesson is already laid out, prepared. The materials are there. And basically every Sunday morning, Janine presents the lesson to the children anyway. And then the parents are asked to facilitate discussions or help, you know, mind children and play games. And it really, really isn't a cumbersome, burdensome thing to be involved in the kids' ministry. It's actually a heck of a lot of fun. And also, you get to meet the children that your kids are in church with. I also think that that's really, really important. I've so enjoyed getting to know all the children that are our up-and-coming youth, and then the leaders, and then getting to know those kids that my kids are becoming friends with is really very, very special. Then lastly, oh, actually, on that note, like Duncan said, I'd really like to appeal to the dads. I think that it would be an incredible thing if couples could sign up to serve in the kids' ministry. Serving with ladies is lovely, and, you know, we have this kind of nurturing, loving vibe. But when dads jump in and start dawdling with the kids, they have such a blast. And it really does shift the atmosphere, and it changes how the kids respond. And when kids can see dad getting involved, it changes. It really, really does. I don't know how or what it changes, but it changes. Lastly, and I think most importantly, I really believe that our children need to see us modeling service and heartfelt, worshipful service in church. I think that we should aim for our children to catch our passion for worshiping Jesus by watching mom and dad enjoy serving and enjoy worshiping, enjoy Jesus. If you don't have that in your heart and you're not showing it to them, you can't impart it, and you can't then tell them, hey, you should go to church and go do the things in church, but then we ourselves kind of are non-committal or kind of half in. I really, really think that the kids, when they see us serving, they can catch that passion for serving as well. I think that, wow, I wrote down so much stuff that I'm not going to say. I really do think that our most important job as parents is to fall in love with worship and service of God. If you're going to church out of duty, or if you're forced to, or if for any other reason than a love of being there, our kids can see it. If we're like, oh, okay, let's go to church today, they can see that, and they will then start to adopt that kind of attitude. Whereas if we're like, yes, come, let's go to church, and they see mom and dad praying and worshiping and serving and getting alongside their friends, it really, really, really makes a massive witness to our children. Basically, that's it. My challenge to you is to jump in and serve in the kids' ministry this year. And not just Sunday mornings. I also mean like Friday evenings. Friday evenings are such a ton of fun. Honestly, we come for 2 hours, 5:30 until seven. Yeah, not even 2 hours. And the kids have such a blast. They get so excited to come. And they have fun, high-energy games. We have good Bible teaching and lessons that Janine also prepares. And generally, there's a craft or a game or an activity that they can do. But all of it is already planned, and the syllabus is rock solid. So it's just, yeah, it's a very, very special ministry to be part of, and I really want to encourage you to do so.
Thanks, Debs. Right, so I'm just quickly going to, as for those who might not know who I am, I'm sure most of you do, but my name's Janine, and I'm the kids worker here at our church, and I'm responsible for taking care of our youngsters between ages 0 to kind of 13 when I give them to Jason. that's my responsibility. And also connecting with families and making sure that you guys are resourced and okay. But before I talk about what exactly it is that we do at Kids Ministry, I would just quickly like to touch on why Kids Ministry matters. The obvious thing is we want to be able to sit in church and pay attention to what's going on in church. But Kids Ministry is more than a babysitting service. Much more than a babysitting service. So I know it helps parents, but it's also important to bring your kids. The Barnard Group is a very well-known research group that researches churches and church trends and trends in Christianity. And they did a survey recently that said, and they found that nearly 85% of adult Christians made their decision for Christ between the ages of 4 and 14. And that 94% of adult Christians made their decision to follow God under the age of 18. That is why kids' ministry matters. Because that is where we reach people for Jesus. It is our most fertile ground is at kids' ministry. And that's why we as a church are invested in kids' ministry, but also about why we as parents need to be invested in kids' ministry. At the same time, I would like to impress on you as parents that if your child faithfully attends both of our, I'm talking about the younger kids, if your kids attend our kids' ministry programs that we run in the week, essentially that we are spending 2.5 hours with them per week. If you compare that to the roughly 30 hours that kids spend at school being taught, it's like nothing. We don't have a lot of time with your kids. And that is why parents, you need to buy in to your kids' spiritual upbringing. We can't do it. I know it's maybe sometimes, and I'm not saying that to guilt anyone. And I'm not saying that to guilt anyone to bring their kids to church. That's not why I'm saying what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you guys have the most important role to play in your kids' spiritual lives, because you see them a lot more than what we do. Okay, so please do bring your kids to church. Please do bring your kids to junior youth on a Friday, but also be invested in what they're learning here and expand on that at home, because 2.5 hours is not enough. So now let's quickly look at what we do in terms of what we offer for our kids on a Sunday morning and on a Friday. So we currently have 71 kids on our books, with an average attendance last year over the whole year of 26 kids per Sunday morning coming. But I think that's a bit skewed because we were getting more kids towards the end of the year, which is great. The kids are dropped off at the coffee corner, as you guys would know. And then they play for a little bit. And then we go inside. We have a time of worship together. And then I do teach something. So we use videos. I do just teach. I use object lessons to teach the concept of the day, and then the kids divide into three different classes, so three different age groups. So we have our preschool kids, who Renee Naidu has been so faithful in serving there, and she's so amazing with those little kids. And then we have our junior primary kids class, so it's grade 1 to 3, and Elaine has also been so faithful in serving there, and she is so good with the kids. I look at her, like, they're all sitting so quietly and listening to her. I'm like, I don't know how she does it. I guess it's her experience of teaching for years and years and years that helps her to do that. But the kids are so bought in when she teaches them. And then we have our very boisterous senior primary class. And if any of you have kids in that age group, especially boys in that age group, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They are a handful, but they're amazing. I love that group. I do jump in there sometimes and teach them. Debs is involved there. Ashton is involved there sometimes. And we do have some relief teachers who come in and help us in a pinch, and also help us during the school holidays. So when we are teaching, we always start with the Bible. We try and follow along with whatever's being, whatever the sermon is in church on that Sunday. Obviously, doesn't always work out, but we do try and follow along with whatever's being taught so that the whole family is on the same page, so that what you heard in church, your kids also heard at kids' ministry, and you can discuss and talk about after church. So now, as Debbie said, we have gaps in terms of serving there. And I'm not going to harp on that too much because Debs has done a great job there. But please do think about it over the next week. And if you are willing to sign up, please do. As Debbie said, I resource the teachers. I give you everything that you need to run the lesson with those kids. And I'm especially looking for people who will help with that senior primary class, because they are amazing. I would ideally like to split that class into a boys group and a girls group so that the girls also don't disappear in the noise that is going on there. But that's what I would love to do. But at the moment, we just don't have the volunteers to be able to do that. Okay. What we would like to do this year, obviously this morning, family service. I don't know. I loved it this morning. And I love that we can bring back family service and that our kids can be part of what we do here on a Sunday morning. So we are going to be doing that regularly. We also want to put a bit more emphasis on memory verses. Why do we do memory verses? Because that's how we get the Word of God into our kids' minds and hearts. If anyone here has grown up in church with memory verses, they stick with you, even into adulthood. And we want that for our kids. Our kids, I know they don't always like it. Okay. I know they don't. But those words, even if they don't understand everything, eventually it settles down into their hearts and it becomes part of who they are. So please do ask your kids, what was the memory verse today? And I will post that memory verse onto the admin-only kids' parents' WhatsApp group. If you're not on that WhatsApp group, please just talk to me afterwards so that I can get you onto that WhatsApp group, because we do try and communicate things that are relevant to parents only on there. All right. Then Friday nights is a draw. We spend an hour and a half with the kids. They do like run around like crazy, and they love it. So we start out with some high energy games with the kids. We have them running around and sweating for the first while. And then we do break. We have some juice and biscuits for them. And then we do a short teaching and lesson. It's not as intensive as we teach on a Sunday because it's Friday late afternoon and the kids are over it. But we do try and teach them something. And we do try and fit the games so that it kind of adds to what we're learning about on the evening. So we use our Friday nights to try and fill the gap. So last year we were doing the big year and we couldn't touch on everything. So we were using Friday nights to kind of fill the gaps, just to help the kids make sense of where we are in the story. It is a relatively new ministry. I think we only started it last year. I can't remember. either last year or the end of the previous year. I can't remember exactly when we started it. But it's grown so nicely, and the kids have been coming consistently. And parents, if you're not serving, nice time to just spend some time with your spouse at home. All right, so where we need help in terms of Friday nights, we need people who are willing to come and assist with games. Dads, great place to get involved. Please come and help us just run the kids around and have loads and loads of fun. They do absolutely love it. I do the teaching, and Deb sometimes does the teaching on a Friday night. If you would like to help with teaching, please speak to me. And then also, if you're like, I don't know if I can run around with kids and I don't know if I can teach kids, I'm pretty sure you can come and help us serve biscuits and juice and clean up the kitchen afterwards. So please do. There's lots of opportunities to get involved over there. And then last thing where I feel we have a bit of a gap. So everything that I've spoken about now, so Friday nights are from grade R to grade 6. Sunday mornings are kind of preschool, so triple naught to grade 6 as well. Our little kids, really little kids. That's where we have a major gap at the moment. And I know some of those parents, well, most of those parents are not here today, but we have about 8 to 10 little kids from 0 to 3, as far as I can tell, that do come on a Sunday morning. And they are a handful. And I know that because I have a child in that age category, and she is very busy. And it is hard when you're trying to focus on a sermon while your toddler is running around you or in the playroom making a racket like mine did this morning. So what my vision is, or our vision is that we would like to have one or two volunteers in there on a Sunday morning who are willing to take the hit and be there with those kids and do a very simple Bible story with them. It doesn't have to be complicated, and I can resource that. I just can't do it myself because I'm down there with all the other kids. Someone who'll be willing to, and I think we'll do it on a rotational roster basis so that every mom and dad gets a chance to actually attend the service and be able to listen and focus on the service, but so that those kids are kept constructively busy and they are not too young to learn about God. They are not too young to learn Bible stories. So we can do that. We can use that opportunity from very, very young already, so that by the time our kids go into kids ministry, they're ready. They kind of have a foundation going into kids ministry, into the next step. So please pray with me that we will be able to fill that gap. And if that's something that maybe God has planted a seed in your heart to do, please, please speak to us. It is not difficult. I know it can seem intimidating, but it is not difficult. It is just so, so important for our kids and for our families. Okay. And then also, but this doesn't really apply because none of those parents are here, but if you have a suggestion, if you've used that space over there, or if you are currently using that space and you have a suggestion about how we can better do that, because I'm not in there every Sunday, I don't know what it's like, please speak to me or speak to Duncan and say, I have a suggestion for that space about how we can improve that, make it better, make it more accessible for families with young kids. So please do speak to us. Right, so that's a wrap in terms of what we do here at church in terms of kids ministry. And now I'm going to hand over to Jason, who will speak to us about the teens, the next step.
Morning, guys. So for those who don't know me, I'm Jason. Ames was here, but it's Hannah's bedtime. Nap time, so yeah. Between the two of us, we've kind of slotted ourselves in to the youth ministry, grade 7 right through to matric on a Friday night. And it's going quite well. Towards the end of last year, we probably had a close on 20 kids coming quite regularly. It's a bit of a slow start this year so far, but we've only just begun. But exciting stuff does happen there. One of the big challenges, and I think Debbie already mentioned it, Janine mentioned it as well, is the problem that we face is that the world speaks louder than we do, and they have way more time with our kids than we do. So for us to be able to plow into them lives the truth of the gospel, we really need to be intentional about it. And it's something that, you know, by all means, please be in prayer about. But it's something that we take very, very seriously. So we kind of started up two forms. So we've got youth on a Friday night between about 6:30. The guys come in, they relax there and chillax. There's pool tables and stuff. They can, you know, connect with one another. And then we usually either we'll do something fun. Week before last, we had sumo wrestling, which was pretty cool. And then afterwards, usually challenge them in the Bible. Friday nights is more on kind of evangelistic side, simpler message, because we do have a lot of guys who are unchurched that come as well. For them to hear the truth of God's word that is relevant to them in their situation and what they find. The whole point is that they can see that the Bible's not scary and see that Jesus is not scary. And what we've been doing the last 2 weeks is kind of emphasis on the gospel. And the point is trying to get them to see the power of the gospel, starting from Romans and 1:16, when Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of Christ for salvation for all who believe." And that's the emphasis that we're going for at the moment for this term. And then what we've started on a Sunday is for those who want to go a bit deeper, more intentional, for the teenage guys, same age group, grade 7 to matric, where we do what Duncan or whoever's preaching at the time, the same sermon, a lot more simplified, but the point is to go a bit deeper. You know, it's not the distraction and the fun, it's more, you know, solid teaching where they can grow. It's absolutely essential, I believe. You know, we did it when I was here, when I was a teenager, we had it there, and it does grow you. And what Janine said was absolutely right, it does stick with us. As we get older and we actually really start to face life and life's challenges. So yeah, that's pretty much what we do. What I could ask for is definitely prayer, and we do definitely need help. Me and Ames at the moment are kind of there every Friday night, but there's a lot of guys to connect with. And it's very chilled. It's, you know, we play soccer with the guys, you connect with the guys, chat about life. Ames connects really well with the girls. But we do need help. And I'm not necessarily reaching out to you guys for that help as parents, but be in prayer that we could get younger guys. I don't mean that we don't want your help, we do. But what I'm saying is it's nice for teenagers to kind of have a space away from their parents where they can be themselves, where they can be real and not necessarily have mom and dad right there watching over them, because they do kind of close themselves off a bit if that is the case, what we've noticed from that. So please be in prayer. We really need other younger guys to help us and assist with the leadership of the youth, help out with setting up games and really owning it. One other thing that we're trying to do at the moment is trying to get the guys to develop a name for it, something that we can you know, really core what our youth is and what we stand for, and really advertise it and give it a punt. So there's been a couple of names thrown out, but it's coming. So yeah, you will expect it. But yeah, definitely be in prayer for us for leaders. We need a lot of help. And then from there, just praying just in general for what we do from a spiritual side. These guys are really struggling with identity. They are big competition with the world and what gets thrown at them. So that is a huge, huge thing that we kind of we got to fight against. And, you know, wanting to show them the beauty of God and the beauty of the gospel and the message that it brings of this love for them, and for them to be able to grab a hold of it. But we do realize that it is not us who changes them; it's God. But it's in our surrender and submission before Him as we are obedient to Him in what we do down there. So, yeah, if you can definitely be in prayer for that, pray for help. But yeah, that's pretty much from a youth side. Thanks.
Thanks. We can give them a proper round of applause, I think, with Jason and Janine. It's great having a teenager myself to know that they're in good hands down there, because I've also been told by that same teenager that I'm not to be seen there. That's different. Junior youth, moms and dads are allowed to show face and be involved, but not really with the teenagers, not really welcomed. You know what I'm talking about, Rory. Back off, Dad. Yeah. My side, I just want to talk about a plan that we have, and I want to say, actually, it's like our priority for this first half of the year as a church, the thing we think is just most crucial right now, and that is we want to be doing a parenting course. And I've been talking about this for months, and we just really need to get going on this. The course material that I've got is a really fantastic thing out of Focus on the Family. And the idea would be that we come together as parents. It's about a half an hour of content driven on a DVD. And then we would subdivide into three groups: those who've got younger kids, sort of preschool age, those who are primary school age, and those who are dealing with teenagers. And we would just kind of compare notes and share burdens, because I don't know about you guys, parenting is wild at the moment. All the gray hairs that are starting to sprout everywhere. And, even if you are waxing it, like you're killing parenting, we really need you to come and help the rest of us, plebs out here, because we're all facing major challenges. But the idea is that it's a safe space for us to compare with people in similar situations and say, hey, what's working for you? How are you managing this? And even if all we do is we share our struggles, it's actually super helpful. All right, so that's the idea. The content is there. The idea is there. The trickiest part of this whole thing is trying to find a suitable time of the week, because everybody is burdened. I know this. We're all spinning. And we've chatted as a staff as much as possible. All the staff have kids younger than my kids, so it's been helpful to hear them out. I had in mind one evening, at 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock or 7 to 9 or something like that. And they immediately were like, nope, bedtime is 6 o'clock, which was important for me to understand and hear. So the time we've come up with, the proposal is this, that we want to do this at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. I see heads nodding. Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay. If someone has a better proposal, yeah? So we spoke about Friday. Our experience has been, just from some of the parenting things we ran towards the end of last year, that Friday, the spirit is heavy with folks on a Friday evening. It's going to be 8 sessions, and it would be 2 sessions on and then 1 off, just because of the public holidays and Easter and everything coming up over the next little while. So Val, you're right, that Friday night was probably option B when kids are dropped off here during that period. The problem being, though, that many of the staff that are involved wouldn't be able to be a part of that session. The idea with the Sunday would be that your kids would be, game stuff happening down there, like is happening now. So the kids would be catered for down there, and it's about an hour and a half. And so they can still be in bed by 6 o'clock is the goal. And again, we're going to accommodate those who got the littlest kids, because those are the most intensity and the highest intensity. I know it's not perfect, but I don't think we're going to find a better time. All right. So please, I don't know, any other comments around that? Okay. How soon can we start? We want to start first Sunday in March. We want to start first Sunday in March, yeah. And guys, I know this as well. This might sound corny, but I promise you at 3:30 on a Sunday afternoon, the enemy is going to try and say, hey, you're not going. Something else is going to come up, or your afternoon nap is going to, you're going to have the gift of extension on that nap or whatever. But I really want to say, fight for this. Make this a priority, because I really think this can be hugely helpful for us as individual families and households, but also as a whole body, like growing together and making this really beneficial going forward. We have a family camp planned in September, by the way, as well. And by that stage, we'll have all have done some serious life together and gone through the wars together. It'll be a proper family camp by then. But yeah, we see, you know, just if you take a step back and see what we saw here on Sunday morning, just little people and teenagers and everything all over the show. It's absolutely incredibly special. And we have a major responsibility as a church to be good stewards of the young people that God has entrusted to us and to do that well as parents, but also as a body of believers as well. And I see these little guys. I mean, some of you will know this if you've grown up in the church. There's people you went to Sunday school with, you're still friends with them. You know, and they have their own little community. Who knows how many of these little guys we end up doing their weddings to one another, and Labola will be exchanged through this group here. You never know. Okay, so that's the idea, beginning of March. And as I say, it's 8 sessions, and it literally works out that we'll be 2 sessions on and then 1 Sunday off, 2 on, 1 off. And then, yeah, we finish up, I think, towards the end of May. Okay, so that's the plan. Cool. Thanks very much. And then I think, Janine, just to wrap us up, thanks so much, guys, for your time. We do really, really appreciate it.
Just one last thing I quickly want to touch on, and I'll be very quick. I will also formulate what I've got here into a document that you guys can read at your own time. But family devotions. Family devotions. Okay. I do believe it's very important. It comes back to, we have 2.5 hours a week at the most with your kids. You have them every day. And family devotions is hard, but crucial. So just very quickly, if you are doing family devotions at the moment, if you have a time in the week or even in the day that you do spend time with your children around God's word, reading scripture, talking about it, and praying, that's family devotion. Okay, so if you are doing that, great, amazing, well done. Keep going. If you are struggling to get there, you're not the only one who's struggling to do that consistently. And I just have 5 quick things I want to just mention to try and help you guys out with this. And then, as I said, I will put it into a document and put it onto that parent WhatsApp group as well in more detail. First thing is, start small and work towards an ideal. If you've never done family devotions with your kids, don't try and spend 3 hours one evening going into Proverbs, I don't know, something complicated. It's not going to work. Start small. Start with something that's small and sustainable that you can work towards more and more and more and more and more, doing more and more and more. Okay, a quick one. In my house growing up, our rule was that every day before school, at a certain time, we had to be at the breakfast table. And before we had breakfast, my mom would read a very short devotional to us, and we would discuss it while we were eating, and then we would pray at the end of the meal. And those things still stick with me. That laid a foundation for me growing up as a Christian, as a young Christian. That was very, very crucial and very important. So start small. Start with something that's sustainable and work your way up. Second thing is work towards consistency, but don't get discouraged. As Dunks mentioned now, whenever we try and do something God-related, the enemy doesn't like it. So just before you want to sit your kids down to do family devotion, your youngest one is probably going to have a meltdown. Because that's just how it works. So work towards consistency, but don't get discouraged if you don't get it right every time. Keep going. Keep it age appropriate. It's the third thing. Age appropriate to your youngest child in your family. Don't use these fancy Christian words. And if you do want to use words like grace or mercy, explain to your children what that means. Otherwise, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? 4th thing is try to make it fun and interactive. Christianity is fun. God has a fun side. Make it fun. Make it interactive. Make your kids interested in what you are talking about. Get them to ask questions and to talk in between, to have comments. And then the last thing, be authentic. Don't come and preach at your kids like you have it all together. We don't. Be honest with your children. Say, I'm still struggling with this as well. I don't get this right all the time. Your kids know that. So be genuine, be authentic, and help your kids understand that you're on this journey with them together as a family. There are plenty of resources available for family devotions. We did a whole series last year, the big year, with a whole bunch of family devotions. So maybe if you missed out on some of those last year, you can start there. You can go back. It's all on our website. It was all on the WhatsApp groups. Go back and look at those. They've got a Bible reading, something fun to do, an explanation, questions, everything in there that you need to be able to run a family devotion with your family. There's also loads and loads and loads of books and online resources. So if you need ideas or help with resources, please speak to myself, please speak to Duncan. We can help you guys to find all of that. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes. Don't sing and put up plays. Okay. I mean, we used to, in our family services, sometimes have the kids come and do something for the parents, and they do love that. And that is certainly something we can work towards against. Again, obviously, we're just starting up the family services again now. So we'll get back into that. We are going to try, when we do family services, to include some songs that we do downstairs with the kids. They do love doing their actions and doing their thing. So we're going to try and encourage it as much as possible. Obviously, this morning was our first one back, so we're just trying to get everything in place again. Okay. Any other questions or comments? No? Okay. Do you mind if I pray for us in closing? All right. Thank you, God, that you've entrusted these young lives to us, our children. And thank you that even though we are not perfect and we don't always get it right, your grace is sufficient even for us. Please help us to be consistent with bringing our kids to church, to be consistent with family devotions, to be consistent about praying with and for our kids. Lord, give us lots and lots and lots of wisdom. You know we need it while we are raising our kids. And please help us as parents to be a community for each other, to be there for each other, to lean on to each other so that we can bring up kids who are fully devoted to you, in love with you, grounded in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.